we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Sunday to everybody. Did you know today's Palm Sunday? Today's Palm Sunday. You're at Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fuller. I'm lead pastor here, and I'm so glad to worship with you. We're going to receive the Word of God together, and after this sermon, we're going to spend some time talking to God together. But real quick, can I tell you about Palm Sunday? A little bit. Today is remembered as the day of Jesus' triumphant entry into what city?
Jerusalem.
So he goes into Jerusalem on a donkey. It represents peace, and everybody worships him. Everybody starts putting out palms. They all start crying out a word. What is the word they start crying out?
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Do you know what Hosanna means? Hosanna is a great word and has a dual meaning. Number one, it means a Savior has arrived. Can anybody shout Hosanna in their life? A Savior has arrived, but it has a second meaning. The second meaning works like this: save me. When you cry out Hosanna, it's saying, Savior, save me. All right, we also need to do that, right? Because we go through hard times. We are in our sin, but not even just our sin problems. We go through stuff that just drives us crazy. The Lord will save you from it all. He is the Savior. So we cry Hosanna today because the Savior has arrived, and he's the only one that can save us. Amen. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. This is Holy Week, some people call it, or Passover Week. And this represents the last week of Jesus' life. And if you ever read your Gospels, there's so much that happened over the course of this 1 week period. On Friday, we have Good Friday. We're going to be having communion and worship together. It's going to be at my house. If you don't know where that is, you just ask. We'll make sure that you know all about it. And then join us next Sunday. We're going to be celebrating a risen Savior. Amen? So I want to invite you to do that. But today, we are in the third and final week of our Leader Slip series. Look at somebody, say, Leader Slip. We're in the final week, so I want to give you a quick review. If you missed everything, listen up. You'll get the whole series in like 2 minutes. Here we go. Leadership is
influence.
Good job.
Go.
That is the definition of leadership. Nothing more, nothing less. To influence people. That's what leadership is. And everyone has a leadership calling. Everyone is called to be a leader. Oh, not me. You just don't understand. No, yes, you. Because God has called everyone to influence somebody. You're called to be a leader. You're called to be a positive influence on the world. How many know the world has a lot of problems? Yeah, you don't have to look too hard to find a problem somewhere in your sphere of influence. And when you step into that place, you're a leader. God has called you to do that. In week one, we talked about Jonah's leader slip. He focused on the wrong thing. Last week, we talked about King Saul and his leader slip. Saul was called. He was anointed. He was crowned king, but he was not present on the battlefield. Today, in the final week of the leader slip series, we are going to talk about someone in your Bible you might not really be that familiar with. All right, there are people that they could go to church all their life, and maybe they recognize this name, but they really aren't able to place him on a timeline. They aren't really able to understand him. And also, hint, hint, his name rhymes with another name in the same chapter, and it's really ultra confusing. So even if you know who he is, you've probably gotten him confused once or twice. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Rehoboam. Somebody say Rehoboam.
Rehoboam.
All right, his story is important. Well, there's a lot you can learn from just a few chapters of Rehoboam's life. Go ahead, and if you got your Bibles or your smartphones or whatever, you can turn with us. 1 Kings chapter 11, we're going to be reading a lot today, and so you just have that prepared for us. Rehoboam is a king of Israel. He's a king of Israel. And he should have been a great leader.
Yeah, all right.
He should have been an absolute fantastic leader. He should like have written books and sold them and just like everyone, like Rehoboam's plan for leadership in 39 steps. Yeah. Like we could market that. But sadly, no, that's not the case at all. He came from a great line of leaders,
yeah.
Right? His father was the wise King Solomon. So Rehoboam is Solomon's son, and his grandfather is
David,
the brave King David, right? Talk about a pedigree. When we look to our leaders, sometimes we like a pedigree. This dude had serious pedigree. He had a name. He had more than one name, right? During King David's rule, Israel had some very threatening rival nations. This is his grandfather, David. David, everywhere he looked, the Philistines were there, right? And he was always fighting them. There were other bad guys he was fighting. But that the nation of Israel was just surrounded by rivals. Everywhere they looked, there was probably a war just waiting to happen. Rivals everywhere. But during David's reign, Israel overcame and defeated all those rival enemies. And then David handed over a victorious nation. A very promising nation to his son Solomon. So now Solomon is king. He has the kingdom of Israel. And during Solomon's reign, Israel grew into a world power. The world power of its day. That was Israel under Solomon's watch. Solomon was known as the wisest man to ever live. The Bible says it right there. Israel, during his time, built the temple of God, and that temple was known as a world wonder, a wonder of the world. Other leaders and other people would travel to Israel and be blown away by the beauty of the city and its temple to Yahweh. Israel was wealthy. Israel was strong. Israel was distinguished. Unlike David's rule, Solomon faced very few enemies. The enemies Israel had were so much smaller than the armies of the Philistines, and they only showed up towards the end of Solomon's reign. They were so much smaller than the armies that David faced and defeated. Solomon was not perfect. Absolutely. No one's perfect, right? Except one guy. We know his name. We'll come back next week. We're going to celebrate him. All right. Solomon was not perfect. He had some issues. But growing Israel to prominence was not one of those issues, right? Had nothing but success. So then King Solomon handed this power. He handed this wealth. He handed this dominance over to his son. What's his son's name?
Rehoboam.
Hands it over to him. Rehoboam had it made, right? It's not like he's taking a kingdom that's barely holding on. Oh, what are we going to do with this small problem? You ever been handed a problem? You're like, it's a huge problem. You're just supposed to fix it. He's not being handed a nation like that. He's handed a nation at its height. And he came from a lineage of great kings. He should have had it made, right? He could have looked back on the history, looked back on his fathers. He could have just depended on the name a little bit. He had examples of great leadership in his family tree. You could say that Solomon did write the book on leadership. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And so surely Rehoboam was going to build on the success of his father and his grandfather, Solomon and David. With no powerful rivals present, Rehoboam was positioned to have greater success than any other king of Israel. So today, we ought to be proclaiming the leadership success of the great king of Israel, Rehoboam. Long live his mighty reign, right? But we aren't. Because Rehoboam had leader slip. Rehoboam rejected wise counsel. That's what we're going to talk about today. Wise counsel. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 43. Then Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, succeeded him as king. 1 Kings 12 and 1. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all the Israelites had gone there to make him king. So where in the reign of Rehoboam are we? The beginning. We're like day one. We see that Rehoboam, he is just Now he's in line to be the king, but is he being crowned yet? No, he's not even crowned yet. It's like when a president is elected, but they haven't gone to Washington, D.C. yet and put their hand on a Bible and been sworn in as the president. So this is before day one of his kingship. He is traveling to Shechem to be crowned king of Israel. He's new to the position of king. In fact, he's not yet been made it. Reading on, 1 Kings 12 and 3. Jeroboam. Now hold on, because this is where it gets tough for people. You got Rehoboam. Everyone said Rehoboam.
Rehoboam.
And you got Jeroboam.
Jeroboam.
No relation. No relation. All right. Rehoboam is Solomon's son. Jeroboam, we don't even know his daddy. All right. So Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." Verse 5, Rehoboam answered, "Go away for 3 days, and then come back to me." So the people went away. So let's talk about this. Rehoboam says, "I need some time to think this through." All right. For all of Rehoboam's problems, this is actually not one of his problems. This is actually very wise. When possible, take time to make important decisions. Now, I got to warn you, it's not always possible, right? It's not always possible. But when it is possible, take time to make important decisions. That's a smart thing to do. This is not a leader slip right here. It is good to take time to measure your response. There's some things you just want to knee-jerk say it. No, cool down, hold your horses, go write a letter and throw it out. Stop getting angry. Take time, measure your response. I tell you, in the age of like email and text messages, you can get in some serious trouble just coming right back with something, amen, right? Amen? Anyone ever been there? Oh man, that's some leader slip right there. So take time. How about this one? Take time to do research.
Yeah.
It's terrible like when your car breaks and now you have to get in a new car like immediately. It would be so good if you took time to research it. What's the kind of car I need to get? What's the next best thing for me to do? All right. That takes time. You can't just know this stuff. You don't know that stuff. Take time to ask others.
Yeah.
Hey, what I've got this problem. What, you've been through something like this? Hey, can I ask you a question? That is so wise, but you can't do that if you don't take time. When life allows, you should take time to think. And Rehoboam took 3 days. People will always try to hurry your decision. Newsflash, they're usually salesmen. You know why they want you to hurry, right?
Yeah.
In these days and age, when you're about to buy something, you should at least pull out your smartphone and do a little Google search and push shopping and compare prices, right? You should take time, but there are people in life, they're going to want to hurry a response, and it's usually because they have a motivation that's not good for you, all right? The next thing that Rehoboam does is also good. Verse 6, 1 Kings 12. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" Rehoboam asked. Verse 7, they replied, "If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." That's a pretty good deal, right? If today, there are things in life, if you'll make the right decision today, it will affect the rest of your life. There are decisions you could make today that will put you in eternity. There are decisions you can make today that will save your marriage forever. There are decisions, there are lessons you could learn today that you won't ever have the same hang-ups you used to have. But you got to do something when? Today. Rehoboam sought wise counsel here. Good thing. So he took time, he sought wise counsel. He actually sought tested counsel. These were the elders, these were the counselors to his father, King Solomon. And had King Solomon had success?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So Rehoboam looked to the counselors that served his father, and they suggested that Rehoboam serve the people. Here's something to learn right here. Leaders serve.
Yes, they do.
Leaders serve people. If you want to be the leader, but you hate serving people, stop it. Step down. You are going to be terrible. It's going to be a dumpster grease fire times hairspray. All right, it's going to be terrible. Don't you dare do it, because good leaders serve other people. If you ever want to be a good leader, if you ever want to be a positive influence, then you need to learn how to serve. You need to recognize the opportunities to serve. Hey, man, there are so many times we have an opportunity to serve and we walk right past it. I look past in my life, I see opportunities where I could have served somebody with the good news of Jesus. I could have done more. I had the money in the bank account and the missionary wanted to go. All the time I look, and if you want to be a leader, you've got to learn how to serve. And you've got to learn to see those opportunities. Well, I don't ever have those opportunities. Yes, you do. Wake up. They're right there. You're just looking past them. We often mistake the leadership position. I mean, we got some fancy, fancy names for leadership positions. Sanitation, coordinator, leader, stuff. Y'all know what that is, right? It's the guy who disposes of your garbage outside. All right, but we got kings, we got secretaries of state, we got Senate. On the national level, we got all these churches have pastor assistant to the pastor assistant to the pastor's pastor's assistant, and just
emeritus.
We've got all these names for leadership. We often mistake these titles and these leadership positions as a place to be served, as a place to be honored. Look at that shiny name tag they have. It says manager. We have to all bow down to the manager. That's what people think of leadership. They also think that it's a position of do what I say or else I'm the leader. So you do what I say. So what is that? That is this viewpoint right here. The leader's up here and pointing down at you. That's more like a slave owner, a taskmaster, if you ask me. Jesus told us that the greatest of all would be the what?
The least of all.
The least of all, or the servant of all. You want to be the greatest of all? You grab a towel and wash feet like Jesus. You want to be the greatest of all? You find somebody that's without and you go serve them, all right? Leadership is all about service. Go do it. Jeroboam, not Solomon's son, all right, the other dude. Jeroboam and all the people of Israel came to the person they were about to crown king, and they came to him with concerns. They said, listen, Rehoboam, we have a problem here. The problem, let's point out, was not Rehoboam. Never did they say, hey, Rehoboam, you stink. We hate your haircut. They never said, you dress lousy. They never said that. They don't hate him. They don't say a single bad thing about Rehoboam. They don't reject him as king. No, they don't. What they tell Rehoboam is this. You know what? The condition of our life, we can't go on living this way. It's not acceptable. We can't go on living this way. Does that sound reasonable? Yeah, it is. Leaders often slip here. Okay? This is where leaders often slip. When people bring problems to them, so I'm standing here, I'm the leader, and you bring a problem to me. Hey, man, the way things are going, I just can't do it that way. The leader sometimes feels that that is a threat to their position. Oh, you're bringing a problem to me. Well, and they bow up, they get defensive, right? You know what I'm talking about? But actually, that's not a threat to King Rehoboam's position. It's actually the opposite. Let me help you with it. If you're one of these people that gets defensive and bows up when someone brings a problem to you, when someone brings like an oversight to you, when somebody brings a situation that could be better to you as a leader, don't bow up, but realize this. The fact that someone brings a problem to you means that they see you as a leader. Don't lose your cool. That's the exact opposite of what you should do. You're the leader. It's time to be cool. It's time to be level-headed. It's time to have an answer. So they're bringing the problem to you because you are, knock, 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 hello, a leader. Also, they trust you. So you're a leader in their eyes, and they trust you. Don't have a cow man. Don't freak out. You're a leader. This is what you are called to do. So many times we're like, oh, this is just terrible. Why did I be a leader? For moments like this, this is the moment that you're called to be a leader in. Leadership is not like all just fun games, everybody's doing well. No, leadership is like the world is falling apart. What should we do? And somebody stands up and says, this is what we should do. That's what leadership is. And you've all stood in places like that. You're called to stand in the gap for other people. You're called to be that positive influence and that wise word of encouragement to people. Rehoboam's elders suggested that if he would serve the people, that those people would serve him always. We often miss opportunities to serve. Did Rehoboam miss an opportunity here? We let these moments slip by. Rehoboam, he received great counsel. So obviously, he received the good counsel and the kingdom flourished. End of sermon. Let's all pray together. No, should we read on in the chapter? You think actually? We'll read on. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 8. But Rehoboam, what's that word there? Rejected the advice of the elders. The advice the elders gave him. And he consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He hung out with his friends. He asked his friends. Well, I don't like what they said. Let me ask my buddies over here. Verse 10, the young men who had grown up with him replied, tell these people who have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Tell them this, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. That's a weird thing to say, but that's what they told him to say, right? Verse 11, my father laid on you a heavy yoke, but I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. Awesome advice right here. I want to tell you real quick that this is the counsel that Rehoboam embraced. Who dare these people come to you with all these problems? Don't they know that you're the king? You're up here. They just don't even have time. They don't even have the privilege to walk in your presence, and they're bringing all this stuff. I tell you what I tell them. I tell them that my little finger, blah, blah, blah. That's the attitude right there. Sound like good leadership?
No.
Right? If your manager did that to you, if your manager gave you the finger waistline, I'm out of here. Let me tell you, it is great to seek advice.
Yeah.
Great to seek advice. But here's the slip. Here's the slip. Often people will seek advice until they hear what they want to hear. I'll ask this person. They didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. I'll ask this person. Well, they didn't tell me what. I'll ask this person. Oh, yeah, that sounds terrible. I'll go with that. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Oh, man, I know it all too well. As a pastor, I want to tell you, I'm asked to counsel, and I love to counsel. I never miss an opportunity to counsel, but often I can tell in their eyes when I'm telling them something they don't want to hear. They've already made their decision before they came to meet me. I've had marital counseling that ended in a divorce way before they called me to counsel. They tried to get me to agree with their divorce. They were looking for somebody to agree with them. They left straightway from me telling them, no, work it out, show grace and love with each other. God wants you to love each other. Nope. They went and they talked to their friends on Facebook. I saw the conversations. Oh, man, I wouldn't put up with that. Facebook, dislike, get out of there. You deserve better. They got the advice they wanted to hear. That's what Rehoboam did here. He passed up good advice from good leaders because he didn't like what they said. Let me find somebody, and guess what? Your friends are usually pretty good at telling you what you want to hear.
Right.
Now, they're your friends, but let me tell you, that's not being a friend.
Right.
It's not showing leadership either. Rehoboam, he wasn't looking for wisdom as much as he was looking for someone to tell him what he wanted to hear. Do you want to just hear what you want to hear? Or do you want wisdom?
Yeah.
Do you want the truth? Or do you want something convenient? Do you want something that puffs up your pride? Or do you want something that will set your kingdom towards a future?
Amen.
Let me tell you, he did not get counsel from his friends. He did not get wisdom from his friends. He rejected servant humility. And he embraced pride. Will pride take you up? Pride will take you down. Pride and a haughty spirit goes before falls and destruction, the Bible says. Can I tell you something? We need good counsel. Mom and dad, you need good counsel. Husband and wife, you need good counsel. Redemption Church, we need good counsel. Young people, you need good counsel. Perhaps Rehoboam should have read his father Solomon's writings. I think they were somewhere to be found, right? Here's some of the things that Solomon, his father, said. Proverbs 12 and 15. The way of a fool seems right to him. Well, this seems like the right way. Look out. Warning. Fool. Look out. It's the way of a fool seems right to him. But a wise man listens to, say it, advice. Proverbs 11, 14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls. But many advisors make victory sure. Proverbs 3 and 13. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. We need wisdom. We need good counsel. Now know this. This is important to know. It's a little tweak for you. Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders and embraced the advice of the youth. But it is not age that makes good advice. Well, those are elders. They're older, so their advice has to be better. No, that's not always the case. Wisdom has nothing to do with age. Okay? There are elders who can give bad advice, just like there are youth who may give good advice. If you want good counsel, so how will you ever know? How will you ever know who to ask? Let me help you with that. If you want good counsel, I suggest that you look into the life of the person giving the advice. Right? For example, you should totally divorce that bum. Person's been divorced 5 times. Person's never happy. Maybe look into their life and see, is there wise counsel coming from them? Do they even have the life that you want to live? Do they have wisdom? Do they live wisely? Find people and listen to their wisdom. Not just their opinions. There's a difference between opinion and wisdom. Wisdom is connected to a life that's going a sure direction. Opinion changes with the wind, right? Find wise people, listen to their wisdom, learn to recognize wisdom when it shows up. You know, there is a gift of the Spirit called wisdom. So maybe you recognize when the Holy Spirit speaks wisdom. And let me tell you, it doesn't always happen in a church. It could be happening anywhere. And God uses someone to speak wisdom to you. And it's a wisdom far beyond their pay grade. It's far beyond their experience. It is the Holy Spirit speaking wisdom to you. It would be good if we recognize that when it shows up. Okay? There we go. Can I tell you real quick? Wisdom is better than experience. Look at somebody, say, it's mo better. It's mo better. Wisdom is so much better than experience. Experience is useful. You'd agree with that, right?
Yes.
We have all learned a lot through experience, but can I tell you, experience is a cruel teacher. This is how experience works with a classroom metaphor. Experience gives you the final test exam.
Yes. All right.
Makes you take the test, and then experience gives you the lessons filled with the answers after you've taken the test. That's how experience works. So you run into the experience. It's like, here, failure, Boom, not good. You didn't have all the answers. And then after you get the failing grade, it's like, oh, here, by the way, here's all the lessons. But wisdom works like this. It's learning from experience is never as good as wisdom, because wisdom gives you the lesson first. Wisdom gives you the answers before you face the exam. And so then you walk into the test with all the answers. You walk into the test knowing the answers. So then you are prepared. Wisdom always prepares you. Now you can learn from both, but which one works for a better life? Wisdom every time. Young people, I want to see you learn from wisdom, not experience. There are a lot of experiences you could learn from, but I pray that you never have them. Young married couple, I want you to learn from wisdom. There are some bad things you could go through that you could learn from, but what if you had a wisdom that came from above that you could just pass right all over those bad experiences? Praise God. Parents, learn from wisdom. You don't want to learn after it's too late. So many times we learn after our kids have left the house, or we've learned after years of them going the wrong direction. God, give us a wisdom so we don't have to learn from experience. Your financial decisions, your career decisions, your health decisions, you need wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. James chapter 1 verse 5 says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Ask who? Ask God, who gives generously to some people. Oh, what, did I read that wrong? Who gives generously to people who are without sin and perfect. No, he gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If you ask, if you need wisdom today, does this tell you that you could ask God and he'll give it to you?
Right.
Newsflash. Did we see Rehoboam ask God for wisdom? I mean, he asked these elders. That was good. He asked his friends. I mean, advice is good. But we don't have any place where he asked God. The first person you should ask is God. I'm available. You can call me. You can call me at 2 a.m. But let me tell you, if I'm on my game, the first thing I'll ask you is, have you prayed? Have you asked God? Have you read the Bible? Have we looked? Do we know what the Bible already says about this problem? So Rehoboam, he had this huge leader slip. He needed wisdom, but he didn't go to the source of all wisdom. I want you to feel free to ask your pastor. I want you to feel free to ask your parents. Ask your trusted advisors. But can I remind us? We need to ask God first and foremost. He is wisdom himself. I want to tell you that decisions are huge. They're huge. Donald Trump? No. Terrible. All right. Your decisions hold the power to change life. Your whole life can change on a decision. Your decisions can change your family. Your decisions can change your church. They can change your city. They can change a nation. Rehoboam's decision changed the lives of millions of people. Put that in your thoughts. He made this decision right here. I'll reject them. I'll listen to my friends. That decision affected millions of people. Not just at that moment, but for generations to come, right? Rehoboam's decision. Read it, 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 16. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them. Leaders that don't listen. Leaders that don't listen are no leader at all. When all Israel saw the king refused to listen to him, they answered the king, "What share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? What part do we have in your tents? To your tents, O Israel. Look after your own house, O David." So the Israelites went home. Rehoboam would not be their king. They were gathered there to crown him as king, but they all walked away because of the decision of Rehoboam. His decision not to be a servant. His decision to reject good counsel. His decision deemed his reign a failure before it even started. I want to tell you, you've got this dream, you've got this calling, you've got this purpose, and it's over there. Bam. And you want to get there, and you're trying really hard, but guess what? There could be a decision you make today that forfeits the purpose, that forfeits the call, that forfeits the dream. Decisions are huge. Of all the things God gave us, He gave us all free will. Be careful what you do with your free will. You have decisions in front of you today. Will you step into leadership or will you leader slip? Will you seek wisdom or will you reject wise counsel? I want you to get this. At a moment where Israel was positioned for greatness, at a moment where they were positioned to go the next step as a great nation, an immature leader made a decision that ripped the entire nation in half. One decision led to the downfall of a great nation. What ends up happening, Israel was made up of 12 tribal territories, and 10 of those tribes left that day. They said, "You will not be our king, Rehoboam." They instead crowned Jeroboam. So then it's confusing because there's two names, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, and they're both kings. But it's Rehoboam that had the leadership that led to a divided kingdom. Rehoboam became king of two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Jeroboam became the king of 10 tribes. I want to tell you real quick about three continual stages of leadership. I'm going to be drawing to a close very quickly. There are three continual stages of leadership, three of them. You will constantly find yourself in one of these three stages in different areas of your life. In fact, you will be in all of these stages at some point in your life. Right now, you're in all three of these stages. Number one, stage number one is that you need to know. You need to know. Everyone said no.
No.
You must have knowledge. There are things you don't know yet. Can I get an amen on that? There are things you don't, I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how old you are. I don't care about how many experiences you've had. There are things you don't know yet. All right. Rehoboam thought he knew it all, but he did not. There are areas of your life where your success depends on knowing something that you don't know. Problems that you're facing, you'll never solve without knowledge. There are relationships that are going to go to nothing if you don't learn how to avoid the landmines in front of you. Maybe the struggle you're in right now is an opportunity. Do you ever think about that? The struggle you're in right now might be an opportunity to grow in knowledge. Maybe instead of praying, this is usually how we pray, "Oh God, take this problem away." That is like 99.7% of our problem, our prayers to God. "God, take this problem away. There's this awful thing." But maybe God wants you to pray, "God, give me wisdom. God, help me to learn. Help me to know your ways." We often pray the wrong prayer. We often pray amiss. You ought to be praying every day, "God, give me wisdom. Give me understanding." All right? And there's a lot of things you could do. There's a lot of things you could do to help you with some knowing. All right? You could pray. You could ask for wisdom. You could seek good counsel. You could read a book. You could get on the internet. You could go to school. But there are things in life you've got to learn. The career that you want, the future that you want, it requires knowing. You got to know. Too often we beg God to remove the problem when it's actually God's purpose to improve us. Whatever the situation is, there's areas of life you need to know. But that's not all. Because it's not enough to know. you also need to grow. You got to grow. You see, all the knowing, you see, there's a verse in your Bible that says that there are people that are ever learning, but they never come to a full knowledge of the truth. They just spend their entire life learning, but they've never used it. Right? They've never walked into the destiny God has for them, but they're learning all the place. You see, you got to put it into action. It's not enough to know. You have to put that knowledge into action. This requires work. It's not a popular sermon right there. It requires work. It requires determination. It requires, even if you fail, you don't give up. You get back on the horse. You try again. Growing has pain in it. There's growing pains. You've heard of that? It requires putting this knowledge into action is work. But you'll never get to the life you have if you don't take your knowing and start growing. You need to go out and you need to start that business. Don't just dream about it. Don't just learn about it. There's an organization, like a nonprofit organization in your heart. Go start it. You got to start growing. You're called to write that book. You go write that book. You go do the work. Get it done. Invent that product. Start that ministry. Don't just sit there with knowledge. God gave you knowledge so that you will grow. So put that knowledge to use. And then there's a third step. Sadly, this is where most of the Church of Jesus Christ falls short of. We're called to show. So we know, we grow, then we show. There is a moment that happens in everyone where they need to share the knowledge with someone else. You've been given the knowledge, you've put it to use. Now you're like a successful person, and God wants you to show other people how to have the knowledge, how to have the success, how to have a good marriage, how to have good finances, how to grow in God, how to start a ministry, how to do all those things. God wants you to do more than know. He wants you to do more than grow. He wants you to show. God wants you to be a mentor. He wants you to lead people. He wants you to influence people. That, see, this is all self-serving. This is for you. This is for the kingdom of God. This is for other people. This is servant leadership. This is one of the areas Rehoboam completely failed in. You need to show someone else how to achieve. You need to show someone else how to win in business. I love my brother here, Linus. I love you, Linus. I'm so glad you're here with me. This guy, everything he learns, he shares. As soon as he learns it, it's like he's sharing it. The next thing. I love that about you. Share what you've learned. That is leadership. There are these three continual stages of leadership. And right now, as you listen to me, there are areas of life where you need to be knowing. You're like clueless. It's okay to be clueless in certain areas. If you ever have kids, you'll have this continual cloud of cluelessness about you. It's like, I don't know what's going on with these kids. What are we doing? Oh my gosh. Lord, help us. Help us. They aren't even teenagers yet. God, help. All right. You got, there are areas of your life right now, you need this. God will give it to you. He gives it to you generously if you'll ask. He has put people in the body of Christ to help you. I want to tell you that we think knowledge, like one of those fantasy type movies, like there's a fantasy type movie like where the secret harp of brilliance and success is hidden in this long, far-off cave on the other side of the earth, and we got to go travel it, and we got to fight an octopus and go through all these hard things. And then if we achieve, if we can expose of the five fiery darts of Medusa, then we can grab that. It's like a movie, right? Then we could have wisdom and understand. No, wisdom is like the person next to you. Just turn to them and say, hey, can you help me out? See, God doesn't put it somewhere where it can't be gotten. Wisdom is not hidden in heaven. It's right here in this room. The wisdom that you need is right here in this room. And it can come straight from God. But let me tell you, sometimes God sends you to people. And you open up your mouth and those people impart A God wisdom. Why does he do that? Why doesn't he just do that? Because he wants to use people. He wants to raise up leaders. And it, by through it, it's going to show you also how to be a leader. But there are areas right now, you got to be knowing. You got to be knowing. You got to be knowing. And then there at the same time, at the very same time, there are other areas where you're growing. You've already learned the knowledge. Now you're trying to use it. You've learned what God said about that. Now you're trying to put it into practice. You've learned about prayer. Now you're trying to walk in it. You've learned how to be a witness. Now you're trying to walk into it. You got me? You've gone to college. Now you're trying to start the business. You got me? So now you need to grow. And at the very same time, this is so powerful in God's kingdom. At the very same time, the person that feels like they don't know anything, the person that says, gosh, I'm not there yet, at the same time has some area in their life they can bless someone with.
That's right.
Everyone in this house could be a blessing. Everyone in this house could share some bit of knowledge with someone. I've always loved this example. I was just this young, very green musician. I was listening to a guy named Mark Condon. He was giving this talk, and this impacted me. I never forgot it. He's like, you know what? Any of y'all could teach me something on the piano. And I'm like, oh, no way, Mark, because I don't know anything on the piano. Like that. That's where I was. He says, no. Just the other day, I was working with a girl, and she hit some little lick, and it blew his mind. He's like, I'm going to play that lick for the rest of my life. That was really cool. It was just a little trip lick. It was just a little trip. I remember he said, he's like, oh, man, that sounds so Southern gospel-y. I love that. How'd you do that again? And this is a well-known musician. I'm like, oh my goodness, can you show me that lick again? But that person who could not play for a worship service taught that guy something, showed that guy something. Number one, it was really cool of him to say, hey, I don't know everything.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating to try to show something to someone and they're like, knew it. Don't be that person. Do not be that person. We need to know, we need to grow, and we need to show. Right now, right in this church, there are areas we need to be shown. There are people in this room. If you're looking for something that God to call you in, there's plenty of it. Just show what he's already shown you, what you've already grown in. Those are the three continual stages. Life is always interesting. Life is never boring. There's always an area of your life that you're mastering, and there's always an area of your life that, thanks to God, you have mastered. So where are you in these stages? Where are you in your life? What areas are you in here knowing? What areas are you growing and showing? You need to nail that down today. You need to do some talking to God today. You say, God, there's this area, there's big holes in my knowledge. Help me. There's areas I've not yet grown. I've heard this sermon so many times that I've never done this. Help me. Help me to grow, and then help me to show. I want to end with this. Decisions are huge. Decisions are absolutely huge. You have a decision to make today. I want to tell you that Rehoboam thought he already knew. Rehoboam, even though he hadn't put his crown on yet, thought he was already big and powerful, had no growth. And Rehoboam was not interested in ever serving others. So he never got to fulfill the leadership call that God had on him and his family. What about you? What about you? Are you ready to walk into the leadership that God has for you? As we enter into a time of prayer, I want us to talk to God about knowing, growing, and showing. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We have worshiped God together. Thank you for singing songs of praise to a living God in this house. We've received the Word of God together. We just took this simple sermon, and here it is. It's the Word of God for you. It was for you today. And third, I want you to take some time and talk to God. So what we're going to do is we're going to just open up this altar for a time of prayer. If you want to come down, you can come down right now and just start to pray. If you want someone to pray with you, you come in the first 2 feet. That lets us know you want us to pray with you. Don't feel weird. We're not going to, like, jump on you. If you don't come in the first 2 feet, no one's going to bother you. It's your time to talk to God, but we need to talk to God in this house. He is calling us into so much more than what we've walked into. Do you believe that? Redemption Church, I believe He's got so much more for us than we've ever walked in. I don't know where you are on the internet, but you just checked in. I want to tell you, I don't know you, but I know a God who calls us out of darkness. He calls us into marvelous light. He calls us more than we ever were. He calls us chosen generation. He calls us a royal priesthood. He calls us to show forth the praises of Him. I want to tell you, right where you are, you need to talk to God right now. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for every person that's hearing my voice right now. I pray, Lord, that You would minister to them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would challenge them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would see and they would sense what You have called them into, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, if they would ask for wisdom, Your word says that You're generous to give it. Lord, let somebody call on the wisdom of God right now over their homes, right now over their families, right now over their church and their city and their job, their future, right now.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.